It isn't real. He accessed the guidance block again. A green reference grid slipped up over his vision, and he focused on a jetty at the far end of the town's clearing. The block calculated its exact coordinate and integrated it into the map. When he checked his physiological status, the neural mnemonics reported his hemoglobin reserve was down to half an hour. His metabolism wasn't producing it with anything like its normal efficiency. He ran through the guidance block's display one last time. Half an hour ought to be enough. Chaz started to crawl forwards again, easing himself down the muddy slope and into the water like an arthritic crocodile. 20 minutes later, he judiciously parted a pair of snow lilies and let his rigid, molded face stick up out of the water. The guidance block had functioned flawlessly, delivering him right beside the jetty. A trim, blue-painted rowing boat was pulling gently against its mooring 2 meters away. There was nobody anywhere near. He reached up and cut the pannier with his fishing blade, grabbing the end of it as it fell into the water. The boat started to drift with the snow lilies. Chaz dropped below the surface. He waited as long as he dared. The neural mnemonic's physiological monitor program was flashing dire warnings of oxygen starvation into his brain before he risked surfacing. Ride was out of sight round a curve, although the ordinary light which clung to its rolling parkland was spilling around the trees on the bank. When he looked at his prize, it had changed from the well-crafted skiff he had stolen to a dilapidated punt that was little more than a raft. Tissue-thin gunwales, which had been added in what must have been a surreal afterthought, were crumbling like rotten cork before his eyes. They left a wake of dark, mushy dust on the snow lilies. Chaz waited a minute to see if any other drastic changes were going to occur. He rapped experimentally on the wood which was left. It seemed to be solid enough. So with a great deal of effort, and coming dangerously near to capsizing, he managed to half-clamber, half-roll into the shallow bottom of the boat. He lay there inertly for a long time, then ponderously raised himself onto his elbows. The boat was drifting slowly into the bank. Long, slippery ribbons of fault wine were trailing from his splint. River beetles crawled over his thigh wound. Both the medical mnemonic packages were approaching overload, trying to screen the blood from the lower half of his leg. "Apart from that, fine," he said. His grating voice provided a harsh discord to the persistent fruity rumble of thunder. He crushed or swept away as many of the beetles and other insects as he could. Naturally, there weren't any oars. He cut through the vines holding his splint together, and used one of the laths to scull away from the bank and back into the main current. It took a while, with the snow lilies resisting him, but when he was back in the middle of the river the boat began to move noticeably swifter. He made himself as comfortable as possible and watched the tall trees go past with an increasing sense of eagerness. A keen amateur student of military history, Chaz knew that back on old Earth, they used to say all roads led to Rome. Here on La Londe, all the rivers led to Durringham. A bubble of bright white light squatted possessively over Aberdale. From the air, it appeared as though the village was sheltering below a translucent pearl dome to ward off the perverse elements assailing the jungle. Octon circled it at a respectable distance, wings outstretched to their full meter and a half span, riding the thermals and fluid with ease, contemptuous of gravity. The jungle underneath him was the same discolored maroon as the sky, but away to the south a single narrow horizontal streak of bright green shone with compulsive intensity. Instinctively, he wanted to soar towards it, to break out into the cleanliness of real light. Tandem thoughts circulated through the bird's brain, his kindly master's wishes directing his flight away from the purity and tilting his head so that he looked at the buildings in the middle of the illuminated clearing. Enhanced retinas zoomed in. "It's virtually the same as Pamir's," Pat Hallahan said. "They've got maybe 50 of those fancy houses put up, The ground is all lawns and gardens right out to the jungle. No sign of any fields or groves. He leaned forwards blindly. Octon casually curved a sepia wingtip, altering his course by a degree.